What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome back, folks. There was a story reported the other day on WDSU-TV about some of our esteemed candidates that have put themselves out for the public to consider their candidacy for a number of public offices. You recall, over the last couple of weeks, I've said that you have to look at each and every one of these candidates very closely, right? Gain a better understanding of who they are, why they are, where they are, where they find themselves in their life at the present time. Thankfully, many years ago, the Louisiana legislature changed some of the qualifications and that you had to be current as it related to your state income taxes. Well, it turns out that we have a number of people, almost every election cycle where they step up and they put themselves out there, that just don't ever seem to be able to take care of their personal business. WDSU reports on five candidates that are being challenged and at the present time. Tyrell Morris, who's a mayoral candidate. Gabrielle Harris Thomas, another mayoral candidate. Kevin Griffin Clark, a Council District D candidate. Willie Miller Jr., a Council District E candidate. Danielle Christmas, a Council District E candidate as well. Interestingly, how do you get around this, you know, as it relates to their qualifications for public office, being a fiduciary for you, tax dollars, this, that, or otherwise, and they're not handling their own business. In fact, this is an important enough issue. This should be asked at every candidate forum. If within the last 6 months they had to take some action in order to cure requirements for the election of the office that they seek. Because it speaks volumes as it relates to their ability to stay on top of their own even personal matters, right? And if they had to do it in the last 6 months, I mean, it's not required by law, obviously, then you should probably move on. You know, and to figure out where they are, especially when it comes to the filing of this, of state income taxes, right? Be interesting to know if they're current with their property taxes, right? I'd like to know that, wouldn't you? I mean, obviously, they're going to be advocating in the position that they hold that everybody should be paying their property taxes, that those businesses that are acting as a fiduciary, and I'll remind you, sales taxes is an honor system. They collect, businesses collect on behalf of the governmental entity, and they turn that money over monthly, right? If they're a business owner, are they current on the payment of sales taxes? Because if not, you should probably think twice about voting for these people. It's the proverbial, they're not taking care of business, right? They're not going to take care of your business if they're not taking care of their own. It's a good indication of the maturity of the individual and their how they conduct themselves in the business world. I know I, for one, just would not want them representing me. Now, it's one thing if they're in a conflict with local government, right? Maybe they paid in protest or otherwise, but they paid. And that happens a lot of times in the way that people evaluate or interpret existing law. I understand that. But when they out and out just aren't doing it, and you have liens and you have this and you have that, because they refuse to pay or otherwise or pay under protest or whatever it may be, this is not a good place to start from, is it? Is it really a good place to start from? I believe it's important enough that we should be asking these questions. In the 6 months leading up to your qualifications as a candidate, did you have to go remediate some of your personal business in order to be qualified to run for public office? Because if not, I think the public ought to know. I hear all these candidates talking about transparency this and transparency that, unless it comes to a personal matter for them that don't look so good. All of a sudden, transparency is not something that's worthy to be talked about. It's incumbent upon, I think, the media and others that are going to be hosting these candidates to ask these questions of these candidates and to see whether or not they've had to do a little remediation in order to be able to qualify for public office. I don't think it's so onerous to go back 6 months, right? They should be able to tell you right off the cuff whether or not they did or they didn't. They either is or they ain't. But I do believe it's important enough for the question to be asked. It's a great example of how probative we should be as members of the public when people put themselves up for public office. It can't just be surface level questions. You got to dig a little deeper to figure it out. I said the other day, you got to really listen to what they're saying, especially if they currently hold public office, about some of these issues, and listen carefully to how they're responding to certain things. You know, especially when they start with, you know, I'm going to remain true to my belief system. And then they go off on a colloquy about what their belief system may be and gain a better understanding of what is it that they're trying to say relative to the issue at hand. Gives you a good opportunity to actually extrapolate that as to similarly situated issues that may come up that may be of interest to you. So you're not so much in the dark about some of what they said, because a lot of these questions simply aren't going to be asked of these candidates. In fact, you know, there are candidates that don't even really put themselves out there in the public purview to be asked questions like this. So hopefully there is going to be a bunch of forums where questions can be asked like this. And I hope some of these folks that are putting them on are listening today You should ask the question. Did you have to do anything to remediate yourself in order to be able to qualify for public office within the last 6 months? If so, what? If so, why? Obviously, these folks decided, they're probably ignorant of the law. They decided to put themselves out there, without remediating this particular issue for them. What's really interesting to me are people that put themselves out to be elected to public office, and they don't even live in a district. Sometimes people don't even live in a state. They're running for public office in the state. And it's like, who are these people? What are they looking at? They're not even taking the time to look at the basic qualifications for the office that they're running for. How do you take that person serious? Right? And if they have a repeated pattern of behavior where they're not staying current with their taxes or their property taxes or their sales taxes or code violations? It's another great question to ask. All right. Have you been cited for any code violations on your property or property that you live in or property that you own, that you're managing, that's out there? If not, if they haven't kept current with code violations and their existing action being taken, you think maybe that warrants looking at that individual again and saying, hey, what's up with that? You know, you lead by example. If you're going to be in city government, which, by the way, is responsible for code violations, right? How do you make other people do it when you may have been subject to that yourself? You didn't stay current. You didn't, comply. It's one thing if they write you up and you immediately remediate it, right? That's how it's supposed to work. And I'm not saying you should ding someone for that. But if you have someone who's got an open complaint and situation filed by the city against you for years on end and you hadn't resolved it, should someone ask what's up with that? I bring that up because we've had that in past elections too. And a lot of times it doesn't come up until the very last waning moments of a campaign when things are tight and the opposition research is beginning to surface and people are looking, to knock somebody down a few points. Well, we should, as the public, we should be asking these questions from day one, so that we can get a better opportunity to understand who this person is about. We shouldn't rely on candidate oppo research. We should do it ourselves. Ask these questions. You're going to be in a position of asking the general public to follow the rules and regulations, the code of ordinance, state laws, federal laws, and otherwise. Is there anything that you have that is going to be a potential issue that's unresolved, that's out there, that we should know about? So we'll see where this will go as it relates to these candidates. One of the other stories that has come out, and I've been following it, and I followed this a long time, and I've been saying this for a while, that a lot of the sanctuary cities and a lot of the sanctuary policies and a lot of legislative action in a number of different states, they do certain things until the budget is tight, and then it's not as much of a priority as they made it out to be for years on end. And there's no better example than Medicaid for illegal immigrants. Seven states had opened their health care programs to illegal aliens, and now a number of them are changing their policy positions. Why? Because they couldn't continue to push off some of these costs onto the federal government. The Associated Press was reporting that California, Illinois, Minnesota, obviously all Democrat-run states have announced they will be scaling back or ending entirely their Medicaid program for illegal aliens because that comes out of their state budget. And the reason they give, the dollars weren't there to support what was passed and what was being spent. Well, they knew that going in. They were just trying to showcase their willingness to do so. They didn't really care about these people because the moment where things got tough, things got tight, what'd they do? They sent them packing. You hear statements like, well, when we looked at the state budget, well, is that, did you just currently look at it? I mean, you're not always looking at it. We found that the dollars were not there to support what was passed and what was being spent. No kidding. How many folks said you would never be able to afford it? I mean, you didn't realize that going in? Illinois will begin slashing theirs immediately for illegal immigrants. And now they're doing it in phases as it relates to age. So like ages 42 to 64. Because they've been able, it's amazing how this works, they figured out that in that age group, they're going to save an estimated $404 million. Minnesota will eliminate the program for all adult illegal immigrants immediately. They say that they're going to save $57 million with that. California will stop enrolling adult illegal immigrants into its program in 2026, which they say will save the state more than $3 billion over several years. And they anticipate 200,000 illegal aliens will lose health coverage in California. What's ripe about this is that these same Democrats are castigating the Trump administration over changes in policy relative to Medicaid, specifically to illegal immigrants. And they're doing the same thing. I mean, it's the height of hypocrisy. They're doing the exact same thing. They're just not talking about it. They're eliminating these programs because the state has had to provide the dollars in order to support these programs. And here we are, the same outcome that they're going to the mic and publicly castigating the federal government. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the NOPD officer, the OPSO, Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office deputy that were involved in that hit and run in the French Quarter, where yet another idiot knucklehead had decided that spinning their car at a corner in the French Quarter was a wise, fun, smart thing to do. And then when the cops responded, like they have been, in very short order, which is really good too, and this is an example of when response time goes down, what you're going to have is more conflict, right? Because you're catching them in the act. And that's what happened here. This idiot, a 23-year-old by the name of Mark Hunter Jr., is driving his Camaro. And I guess he feels like he owns the French Quarter, that he can go down there and do whatever stunts that he wants to engage in. And he ends up injuring two officers, one pretty seriously, I'm told. And, you know, they're still recovering from their injuries. Turns out that this is the same knucklehead that was involved in another stunt when he was 17. Some things never change. He was linked to this 150-participant dirt bike ATV ride-out that shut down the interstate in New Orleans on Mardi Gras. You remember that? You know, we had these, I don't even know what to call these people. In fact, I'm glad I haven't seen it lately. It looks like the NOPD's got their hands on it, of these idiots driving down Canal Street on a dirt bike, which is not even a street-legal bike. Most of these are not street-legal bikes, by the way. Riding down Canal Street, popping a wheelie for like 3 or 4 blocks, running through red lights, riding on a neutral ground, and thankfully, I hadn't seen them lately, I used to see it all the time. It used to infuriate me that we are allowing these folks to do this. Well, this individual was booked on charges of aggravated obstruction of highway back then when he was 17. So this pattern of behavior obviously continues, and you know, they were able to catch the guy, thankfully. That's the best way to make sure that these individuals don't engage in this behavior again, right? And resolve this issue. So our thoughts and prayers are with the two officers that were injured in that. And we hope that the court, you know, hammers Mr. Hunter in the appropriate fashion that he deserves. Because obviously this is the second bite of the apple. How many bites of the apple are we going to give him? We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Seth Knudsen, President and CEO of the Downtown Development District. Seth, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Also, congratulations on your new position as the head of the DDD.
Well, thank you so much.
Seth, why don't you take a few minutes to tell my listening audience about yourself?
Sure. I'm a native New Orleanian. went to Franklin for high school, Tulane for undergrad, MIT for grad school, and focused really my whole career on community development and urban planning. I've been working in city government since before Katrina, and spent the last 13 years overseeing programs and investments for the New Orleans Redevelopment Authority before coming over here to DDD just a couple of months ago.
I've always been a big fan of the DDD and what you guys do. Historically, they've done it well every time that they've got involved in everything, and we appreciate the organization for that, certainly. You guys have what is called Downtown NOLA Awards, where you give the public an opportunity to kind of promote someone and offer up their candidacy for the award. So tell us about how this works.
Yeah, so the Downtown NOLA Awards have been going on for a few years now, certainly prior to my arrival here. And it's a really interesting opportunity for us to recognize both people and projects that are really positively impacting downtown. So it could be property owners, businesses, residents, employees, organizations, projects, et cetera, that are really contributing to the vibrancy and vitality of downtown. So we're also taking a look this year. This is the 50th anniversary of the Downtown Development District. We started our operations in 1975, right around the same time as the Superdome opened. And so we've really seen a lot of incredible development and evolution of downtown in that time. And we're hoping to see in some of the award nominations this year some connections and some through lines with that 50 years of history.
Now, the DDD area of responsibility is identified for the audience from the Pontchartrain Expressway to Iberville Street, from the Mississippi River to Claiborne Avenue, right?
That's correct.
And has it always been those territorial boundaries?
Yeah, I believe that that's how it was initially set up. I don't believe there's been any changes or adjustments to the boundaries that I'm aware of.
So, Seth, obviously new to the office, but you've been around. What do you see as some of the biggest challenges for the DDD coming up?
Yeah, you know, I think that downtown has some, you know, I think local examples of some challenges that really are afflicting downtowns across the country. Right now, I'd say our single biggest challenge is really perception of crime. And I say perception specifically because we are in the midst of about 3 years of sort of downward crime trends, particularly in the 8th District, which encompasses the French Quarter and downtown. And, you know, from all of the statistics collected so far, despite some of the, you know, higher profile events, we're really on track for one of the sort of safest statistical years in downtown, perhaps in the last 50 or 60 years, maybe even in the entire existence of the DDD as an organization. And, you know, I think it's hard for folks perhaps to sort of reconcile that reality with, you know, an image and an impression that's been built up over a much longer period of time than just the last couple of years. And then I also think, you know, there's sort of the visibility of the homeless population certainly contributes, I think, to that sort of that perception of safety and concern. And so we have some work to do on that front, I think, in partnership with the city, who really leads all of this efforts on behalf of the public sector to sort of address the homeless population. But I hope folks will consider coming downtown and seeing for themselves. I think it's really maybe a cleaner and safer place than people give it credit for.
Where would you put in the list of priorities Canal Street? You know, every city's got kind of the identified, right, you know, big boulevard street that people look to as to whether or not there's a level of vibrancy of that downtown area if that street is, you know, doing well. You know, you go to Chicago, it's what is it, Michigan Avenue, the Miracle Mile, you know,
mm-hmm.
Fifth Avenue in New York or whatever it may be. But when you look at Canal Street, you know, what do you see?
Well, I see a lot of, you know, evolution in Canal Street, just the way I see around downtown, thinking back to even when I was a kid, which maybe wasn't that long ago in the grand scheme of things. But even I sort of remember the transition from the last few department stores on Canal Street to that sort of era that kind of kicked off in the 90s and 2000s, where there's been, you know, some property turnover and redevelopment. We've seen some more residential development along Canal Street, some more hospitality development. I think Canal Street's very important. It's the kind of, you know, as it has been historically, right? It's where downtown sort of meets the French Quarter, where the American sector used to meet the French Quarter. And, you know, downtown and the French Quarter are a sort of symbiotic pair. Mm-hmm. French Quarter is, you know, real center of tourism for the city, but most of the hotel rooms for the city are actually downtown. So Canal Street is kind of that connecting street between these two really active areas, and it certainly I think contributes to the impression of the city and how we're all sort of collectively doing, both for local residents and workers as well as visitors. There's I think a lot of complexities. Canal Street's a good example of just some of the real estate development complexities we really face across the city. You know, some of the properties that are maybe underutilized or vacant, perhaps, are part of successions where there's, you know, multiple heirs that maybe don't agree on sort of what the best path forward is. There's also the challenge of, you know, some of the kind of upper blocks of Canal Street as you get towards Sanger Theater and State Palace. You know, those are buildings that are maybe 15, 20 feet wide. It can be really difficult to come up with a sort of real estate redevelopment plan for that narrow frontage and that small a building. So I think there are some technical challenges there as well as some practical ones.
And, you know, I just kind of the reason I ask that question is twofold. One, you identified some of these properties, and one is this hotel right at the foot of Canal Street as you come onto the interstate bridge from what we would probably identify, I think you would agree, as kind of the medical district,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming across. I mean, this place has been a disaster for decades, and you know, and some of these other buildings you identified have been challenges for decades. Is there never an opportunity for us to get these buildings resolved one way or the other?
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's never an opportunity. I think the sort of magic of real estate development is that it's sort of part art and part science. You have to have a team that can appreciate the opportunity, both from a kind of dollars and cents perspective as well as just sort of an overall impact. I think a lot of folks have looked at these properties over the years. Some people have held on to them, you know, hoping that opportunity is still awaiting them in the future. Other folks have sold them and sort of moved on. The city as a whole right now is in, you know, a fairly difficult real estate development environment. We do have some projects that are moving forward, but a lot of projects are, you know, challenged by sort of increased construction costs on both the labor and material side, as well as interest rates. And, you know, again, this is more of a sort of nationwide economic condition that we're just, you know, experiencing and observing here in New Orleans as well.
Well, I understand it's a balance of interest, but how long do you give? You know, would it not be better to tear that hotel down?
Well, look, I mean, I think the city
is incredibly it's just not attractive. You know?
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone would disagree with you on that.
You know,
front.
And part of the challenge there, it's built to old construction, you know, standards. I mean, it's a major problem. At what point does a city, does government say, okay, something's got to change here? We can't let it sit there in its present condition for another 20 years, or can we?
Well, yeah, let's hope not. We definitely don't want to see that continue in its current state. You know, the city has the sort of enforcement tools at its disposal as after it goes through the code enforcement process. You know, it can get to a point where demolition is an option. I'm not familiar with the, I guess, specifics of that particular case or kind of where it sits in the process, but it is definitely something that should be considered among the tools that government has at its disposal.
Yeah, I mean, I just ask. I mean, I know the Plaza Towers finally allegedly has a plan for it, you know, and we have other buildings throughout the city that we have a similar challenge. And just, you know, always curious of how long can we, should we wait? I mean, how long can we wait? How long should the eyesore stay where it is? And I ask that question of you because I have people ask me this. It comes up in conversation all the time. You know, about the redevelopment of what a stretch of highway here or there, where you have these blighted, abandoned buildings, and they're curious, you know. I mean, what do we do with those?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. It's a, like everything, I guess, the government is faced with, there's a cost-benefit analysis to be looked at as part of that. You referenced that you know, building is sort of an older style of construction. You know, I don't know what the sort of demolition costs would be. I know when the city was sort of looking at demolition costs for the Plaza Tower and sort of, you know, was presented with the scale of investment that would be required for the demolition, that was, you know, one of the factors that I think influenced the team to sort of look at, well, can we get to a redevelopment project that makes more sense and is maybe a better investment of taxpayer dollars going forward? And same sort of analysis should apply in that case as well.
Yeah, you know, I think you can quantify perception, you know. It's like when you know, and I say this all the time, human nature is the first impression is a lasting impression. And I've always talked about that, even as an elected official, and Jefferson Parish had a major role in the perception of coming into the city. Is the interstate clean? Is it kept up, you know, as you make your way from the airport into the city of New Orleans? And if that first impression is not a good one, it's really hard to overcome it, you know, from that point forward, of every tourist stay, you know, and all of the ingresses and egresses into the city. I often wonder sometimes if we look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, I agree that the sort of perception is powerful and important, and definitely should be part of the consideration.
Yeah. So what's next for DDD? I mean, I know it's one of the cleanest areas of the city. I love that. I've always loved that about the city. I used to love seeing your DDD employees out there when I was coming down to the studio, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning. They were forever, you know, out there with brooms and you're picking up this and sweeping up garbage and cleaning it up. I mean, it was just, it was exhilarating and refreshing to see that every morning, quite frankly. It was a good way to start the morning.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think you hit on it. That's, you know, our sort of core functions are cleaner and safer downtown. I've been sort of working with a new tagline for the agency that's cleaner, safer, stronger. That's what we're looking to help downtown achieve, is just a superior environment to live, work, play, and invest. And so we're looking to build on those successes that we're having on the clean and safe side, looking to support further economic development downtown. I think one interesting opportunity we sort of see for ourselves potentially going forward is there were a lot of great partnerships that were sort of forged in advance of the Super Bowl to address some of the kind of long-standing deferred maintenance items downtown, and I think we see a real opportunity for ourselves to continue partnering with the city and others to do some more of those kind of physical capital improvements to really enhance downtown and sort of go a step beyond just maintaining what we have.
Yeah, Seth, I love the guys that y'all had out there. I don't know if it was a quick response team in advance of that. They were remediating the sidewalks, cutting brick and putting it in there real time. And I saw them going down this length of sidewalk that I happen to walk by almost every day. And I mean, they were working their way down, pulling it out, making it look great. It was awesome to see that happen.
Well, we're hoping to do more.
Absolutely. Seth Knutson, President and CEO of the Downtown Development District, thank you so much for joining us, and have a great week.
All right. Thanks a lot. You too.
Thank you. That was Seth Knutson, the President and CEO of the Downtown Development District. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Folks, don't forget you can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely free. You can listen to all 3 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. Download the Odyssey app and follow me, Newell Norman. It's that easy. We realize that you can't always listen to the entire show live, so Odyssey makes it easy for you to listen when you want and how you want. And that goes for this show or any of the WWL shows. Download the free Odyssey app today and take control. Or just tell your smart speaker, play WWL. And you can always catch my monologue as well at Facebook, The Newell Norman Show, or on X at Newell WWL. And there's a lot going on. We're going to be talking about a lot of great topics. We're going to continue to push this notion as it relates to the assessment of these candidates that are running for public office, that you take the time, take it seriously before you end up going to vote, because early voting is not that far away, and the election's not that far away as well. All right, folks, we'll be right back. We'll check in with Scoot when we return. Scoot's headed your way. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
We're going to talk about whether or not Superman is number one at the box office. I saw it last week. I hated it. I thought it was stupid. I'm not into sci-fi stuff anyway, but I grew up watching Superman, but I thought the movie was kind of dumb. So we'll see what's number one at the box office this week. I did see the new version of I Know What You Did Last Summer. Did watch that, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And President Trump wants to force the Redskins to rechange their name back to the Redskins. We'll talk about that and a lot more.
All righty, Scoot's headed your way, folks. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great Monday evening. We'll see you again in the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.